Thank you all. There's a theme here this morning, and I think it's Jesus. Amen. If you're able this morning, I would invite you. I picked a short couple verses. If you're able, please stand for the reading of God's Word. We'll be in Ephesians chapter 4. That's Ephesians chapter 4. We'll begin with verse 31. The Bible says this: let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Let us pray. Father, again, we just ask that you would glorify yourself this morning. Father, we thank you for this day that you have made, that we could gather to sing praises unto your name. Lord, we now ask that you would bless this service. Lord, and again, thank you. Thank you so much for all you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen. This brief passage contains a heartfelt lesson for each and every one of us. And I'm pointing to myself this morning. Forgiveness is at the heart of Christian living. It reflects the very nature of God and the message of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us take a look now at what it means to forgive. Why forgiveness is essential in our lives, and how we can become people who will become unchained from the destructive power of unforgiveness. I'm going to try to take these words not through my own, but last week, Brother Don mentioned the passing of one who, when I want to reference something, I have these old saints of the Bible and who teach the Bible. But on July 25th, we lost one of those that I truly would go and reference, and that is our brother John MacArthur. Now, he goes on to explain these terms that we just read about unforgiveness, about letting go, in today's words. And he says this: bitterness reflects a smoldering resentment. Think about that. Did you ever see just an ember in a fireplace and how it just glows and it just stays there? Now, you can add fuel to the fire by throwing on another log and it will rekindle. But that ember is there. It's a smoldering resentment that we harbor. Wrath. Wrath has to do with rage, the passion of that very moment. Maybe I'm the only one here, but these Albuquerque drivers, for a moment, Lord, give me strength. I've never seen anything. You know, we go, we visit, we travel, Miss Rose and I, mostly back home, and it's just two-lane country roads. Now, granted, from people out here that's never driven on country roads, you have to be careful. But I would much rather take that being careful on those windy, mountainous, two-lane roads than I would on this six-lane highway, where it's like you take your life into your own hands each and every time you drive it. And forgive me, Lord, I have those moments of rage. Why would you do that? Why would you cut me? You got the whole road. Why would you cut me off? But it happens. Anger kind of goes hand in hand with that wrath thing. is a more eternal, deep hostility. That little bit of wrath may come, and pretty soon you're looking at the scenery or somebody else. And anger, the way John MacArthur tells us, this is something that we keep inside of us. It's a deeper, more eternal hostility. Clamor is the outcry of strife, out of control. Evil speaking is slander, and malice is the general term for evil, which is the root of all vices. I'm going to miss that old feller, but there's a few that have gone on that I can't wait to get to heaven. And if it's important, I want to shake their hand. I want to thank them for at times. Now, this doesn't mean that I agree with everything all of these old saints say, because I don't. But basic Jesus Christ is the only way. They stand firm in that. And I want to thank them for the times that I have read commentaries that have helped me to get a better, deeper understanding of what the Bible is teaching me. Paul's first instruction here in Ephesians is clear as a church bell in the morning stillness. Now think back. Now, I come from back in the hills, back in the country. On Sunday morning, there's no prettier sound, no sound as clear as that church bell ringing in the morning to call people of the community to come to worship. Now think about that just for a moment. It couldn't be any more clear than that, than what Brother Paul is teaching us this morning. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you and me with all malice. He doesn't say, well, maybe you can just let go of a little bit of it. That's not what he's saying. He said, let it go. Let it go. The more you hold on to things like that, the little ember that we were talking about, it just sets inside your heart and continues to smolder. And it, for a lack of terms, it'll give you the heartburn. Heartburn of evil, of hate. It'll lead you away from the Lord instead of growing closer to Him. Manage your anger when possible. Whew. Don't you all be talking to Miss Rose this morning now. He may have something to say about Mr. Dennis. But listen, we're all human beings. Each one of us. And if you sit there and think, that guy says he's angry. Folks, I don't mean to step on any toes, but I think we've all had that moment of anger in all of our lives. Paul's telling us to make sure that we let go of it. Don't hold on to it. You may have these moments. I've talked many times about, just because I'm a Christian, it doesn't mean that I'm not going to stub my toe, because we'll all stub our toes in this pathway of life. Scripture tells us this in Matthew 16, 14 and 15. For if ye forgive men of their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. He says, let all of it, this bitterness, be put away. There's too much to life, too much joy, too many things to enjoy while we're here to hold on to this bitterness. It just takes up room in our heart. We don't need it in our hearts. As our pastor often asks us, he'll say, now you have a question. Or maybe this is it. And then he'll say, well, I'm glad you asked. Well, let me carry on with that this morning. I have to think you may have this question. Why is this important in the life of a Christian, this forgiveness? Because when we hold on to bitterness and wrath, we poison our hearts and relationships. Let that sink in for a moment. Bitterness is like a sapling that, if left unchecked, will grow into a massive tree. Hebrews 12:15 says, and it makes it very clear. The Word of God says, see to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. A few weeks ago, I had the pleasure of teaching the young children. And the thing that I talked about to them was forgiveness. And these children love to play. Anybody in here ever play the hangman noose game? You know, it was new to me. It had been years since I'd played it. But the children really, they enjoy it. And they figured it out, what we were talking about. The example that I gave was about this sapling. You let this sapling that could possibly be a matter of anger that you keep inside. Well, I'm telling you, I'll hold that against them till the day that the Lord calls me home. And this sapling begins to grow. And it becomes this huge, huge oak tree. Massive. Out here, it would be one of these ponderosa pines. Massive tree. Well, you can go through and pretend that we're going to cut this down. We're just going to cut this tree down. Get rid of it. We don't need it in our lives. Anybody ever own a farm? Been around a farm? Just because you cut bushes down or trees down doesn't mean that you got rid of the problem. Something that goes deeper than what you see above ground is what is below ground. And that, folks, is roots. You can cut the top off, trees gone, you can burn it for firewood. But on the farm, if you don't get rid of the stump and the roots, you will mow around it all the time. And if you're not careful, out of that stump becomes these little saplings. Now, what am I trying to tell you this? Don't just get rid of something that other people see. Get rid of the root of the problem, and that is bitterness. If you don't dig up the roots, cast it away, it will come back. You will keep it in your heart forever. That's why it's so important, and that's what I told the children. We have to learn to forgive. Forgiveness is part of being a Christian. It's the most important thing that Jesus Christ did for us. Through his death, burial, and resurrection, through the blood that he shed, we find forgiveness. Not by anything that we can do, but only through Jesus Christ. So if you're harboring things this morning, get rid of the roots, because that is the root of the problem. You got to get rid of it if you truly want to be set free. Paul does not merely tell us what to avoid. He goes on to tell us what to embrace. Be ye kind to one another, tender-hearted. Now, just for a moment, imagine what our little community here, maybe the city, maybe the state of New Mexico, maybe the world would look like if we all took an axe to these roots of bitterness that we sometimes harbor. Paul goes even further, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven us. you. At the heart of the Christian gospel is the good news that we, through the work of Jesus Christ, have been forgiven. Amen? It's important. No matter how good, Bruce talked about the good. The Bible tells us that there is only one who is good, and that's God the Father. I don't care how much you pretend to be good, how you strive and get up every morning to do good, but yet you have not given your problems to the Lord Jesus Christ, you are lost. You will not make the gates of heaven. You cannot do it on your own. It is impossible. Not the blood of goats, not the blood of bulls, not the blood of doves can forgive you the way the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ can forgive you. It's the only way. At the heart of the Christian gospel is the good news that we have been forgiven, those of us who have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ for who he says he is. We have been forgiven. We have been bought and paid for and sealed for an eternity. Nothing of this world can take you out of the Lord's hands. If you confess his name, give your life, your heart, everything for him to be your Lord and Savior. Nothing. Nothing the world can give you. Nothing the world can throw at you. Nothing. Now, that doesn't mean that when we make choices, that there's not consequences. Here's a newsflash for you. I don't care if it's a good choice or a bad choice, there will be consequences. If you make good choices, there'll be good things happen to you here. But if you make bad ones, you will have to suffer the penalty of that choice. That doesn't mean that you lose your salvation if you belong to Jesus Christ. It just means that you'll have to pay for whatever decision you made here upon this earth. That's the reason there is no room for bitterness and evil doing while we walk upon the face of this earth. We may be the only Jesus that people see from day to day. There are so many outside of these walls that are non-believers, non-churchgoers. Do your best to live a life that honors Jesus Christ, not only in the presence of your loved ones, but in the presence of those you don't even know. So that little story I told you about driving on these Albuquerque roads, refocus, get back in your lane, and keep pushing ahead. You don't need to be blowing the horn, as Miss Rose tells me. You don't need to be wagging the finger, as Miss Rose tells me. You don't need to try to get in front of people, as Miss Rose tells me. Just press on, because you want to give an example of good that can only be obtained by Jesus Christ. God in Christ did not hold our sins against us once we have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. Instead, we are told in Micah 7:19 this: he will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. Tread our iniquities underfoot. You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. Think about that. No matter what you have done, no matter how bad the choice may have been, once you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, they're taken away. They're forgiven. God no longer looks at you, but he looks at his Son, the only righteous one. Think about how deep the ocean is. That's where our sins are cast, into the depths of the sea, because God loves us that much. If God, through Christ, did this for us, then why should we not do this for one another? Forgive. Don't harbor ill feelings against other people. Let it go. Again, I'm talking about this forgiveness and consequences. God has allowed Miss Rose and I to come out here to spend time with our grandbabies and our family. And in the process, He gave us a church family out here, 1,800 miles from where we were comfortable. But now we get to see the children pray around the dinner table. Children who didn't even know who Jesus was. It's not anything that Miss Rose and I did. It's through the goodness of God. It's through making a choice and following through. And what a blessing it truly is. The middle grandchild, he's learning a valuable lesson of choices and consequences. I think maybe the last time I spoke to you all, I talked about Legos. Those little pieces of plastic, I think, given to us by Satan himself. If you've ever stepped on one at 3 o'clock in the morning in the dark, in bare feet, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. But this little feller, once he builds something, he doesn't want grandmother, he doesn't want grandpa, he doesn't want mom and dad, he doesn't want anybody to disturb this. He wants to keep it. Well, if we allowed that to happen, our home would be absolutely full of Lego building. So he's learning a little lesson that, listen, you can play with them all you want, but when you're done, so that grandpa doesn't pick them up at 3 o'clock in the morning and have this little bit of wrath and anger, he's learning that lesson, that if you don't pick them up, you don't get to play with them. Now, that's just a little feller, but we can put that in our lives. Don't hold this bitterness, because it'll ruin your day. Perhaps someone has deeply wounded you, and you may be harboring this anger, this bitterness, deep inside where nobody can see it. Here's another newsflash. God knows exactly where it is in your heart. You're not fooling Him. For the one who knew you before you were formed in the womb, He knew everything about you. And He knows that you're harboring this. Let it go. You might have had a friend that betrayed your trust, a colleague that has acted unfairly to you, trying to advance their own personal gains. Here's the big one. You ready for this one? Family conflict. Family dynamics. It's hard. A family member could have spoken harsh words to you, or even worse. The pain is real. There's no denying. That hurt hurts. We've talked about this at other times too, and I've talked about this with the pastor. Whoever came up with that saying, sticks and stones, folks, I'm going to tell you what. Words will never hurt me. No. I have been cut to the heart because of words. Bones will heal. They will. I've had broken bones. They'll heal. They may not look as good as they once did, but they're healed. But those harsh words, it really takes a lot to give it up. At times, I think I'm as big as an elephant. And they say that elephants have the best memories of any animal on the planet. I have to remind myself not to be like the elephant and keep bringing back up the bad things that has happened to me. You got to let it go. Like I said, the pain is real and it should not ever be minimized. But holding on to bitterness only deepens the wound. As the saying goes, unforgiveness is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. It's not going to happen. All you end up doing is becoming sick. It's not good. Before learning to let go, and it is hard. Here's another example. Maybe I'm the only one, but when somebody has hurt me or said something to me, I lay awake at night thinking about those words that this person has done to me. Now, I don't know about you, and maybe I'm wrong. But I would almost say that while you're laying awake and not resting, the person who you're holding this against is probably sound asleep. It doesn't make them feel bad when you hold bitterness in your heart. You've got to let it go. And like I said, it's hard. It's hard for me. And I'm sure it's hard for you. This family thing. Anybody in here ever play Monopoly? It's pretty neat. It's a good game. I enjoy it. I had a brother who was visiting us at Christmas time. He lived in a little town called Atwater, Ohio, which is right outside of Akron. He was so good to me. He was older than me. He was my half-brother. He was in the Navy. I was just a toddler. But I looked up to him. He always, and he was one that came from a broken family. He's a half-brother. But I looked up to him, and he always took care of me. He was 24, 22, whatever he was. He never forgot my birthday. He never forgot Christmas time. I always had something very, very nice for Christmas. He made sure of it. We were playing Monopoly, probably a gift. And he and my dad, like this. It didn't matter. What a beautiful day. Yeah, but it's supposed to rain. Oh, what a nice summer. Yeah, but winter's coming. It never failed. Those two, it didn't matter. Back to the Monopoly game. Christmas time. Winter snowstorm. 8 o'clock at night. Christmas day, evening. Pouring the snow down. I mean, how's the old song? I'm glad I'm inside, the fire crackling, the popcorn. Over a game of Monopoly. My dad was going broke. He gave all of his property to my sister-in-law, which made my brother furious because at that moment, he was winning the game. And dad just says, I'm going broke, I can't pay. Here. And the pieces that my dad had made my sister-in-law's game even more complete. Missing a red one, here's a red one. Missing a blue one, here's the blue one. My brother got so upset. In the middle of a snowstorm, in the middle of the night, packed everybody up, put them in the car, and drove all the way back to Akron, Ohio. That, folks, is bitterness. Over a game of Monopoly. May sound silly. You may have had some experiences like that in your own life. It broke our hearts. It broke our hearts. not only to see them go out on the treacherous roads, but to not be able to share Christmas vacation with them over a game of Monopoly. So when I mention family conflict, family dynamics, I like to call it, don't be the one that packs up from a Monopoly game and drives 5 hours to get back to Ohio, probably 8 hours because the snow was, and this was, I'm 67 years old. I was probably 8 or 9 at the time. They didn't have all the neat snow removing equipment that they do today. I couldn't believe it. But anyway, don't let bitterness ruin your life. And it will. It truly will. The Apostle Paul finishes up, and so will I, with this, a true anchor. All right? It gives us an example of what it is to be a Christian. Verse 32 says, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you, forgive others. Forgive others. Don't harbor this in your heart. What an example, even Jesus Christ himself. Now you want to think about the true meaning of forgiveness. I can't make it any more clear, and I don't think the Bible can either. In Luke 23, 32 through 34, the Bible says this. Think about this forgiveness word as I read this. Two others who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place that is called the skull, Golgotha, where they crucified him, our Lord and Savior, and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Here is our Lord and what he said. Hanging on a cross, enduring the pain that others inflicted upon him, his words were, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That, folks, is forgiveness. In his dying breath, he asked for forgiveness. Let us, while we're still living, harbor no ill towards mankind, especially our loved ones. Let it go. What happens when we forgive? We find freedom, true freedom that only comes through forgiveness. I found this, and it is God-based, and I want to share it with us, and it may lead us towards a closer walk with our Lord because of forgiveness. First, pray. Folks, it is the most neglected thing a Christian has. We try to battle the things that's coming at us on our own. Anything that man has ever tried to do, we have failed at it. Pray. Pray to the Lord for strength. Ask God to soften your heart and to give you the courage to forgive. It's first and foremost important. Second thing, remember God's forgiveness. Don't ever forget it. Reflect on the grace that you have received. Let gratitude inspire you to pass it on. It's contagious. It's like a smile or a yawn. I start yawning up here, everybody in this building will start yawning. I want for you to have forgiveness that is contagious. And so does the Lord. Acknowledge the hurt. She hurt me. He hurt me. Acknowledge it. Tell it to God. Don't minimize it or deny the pain. Bring it honestly to God. There's a lot of people in here that are friends. Talk to them. Talk to the pastor. Talk to me. If you need help, don't harbor this in your heart. It will grow into a bitter, bitter root. Decide for yourself today, this very moment, I'm going to forgive, and make it a choice and not a feeling. Make it real. Commit to it, even if your emotions take time to follow it through. Remind yourself daily, I'm going to forgive. Release the offender, whoever it may be that hurled those words at you. Let it go. Let it go. Let go of your desire for revenge. Entrust justice to God. It's not our business. God will take care of that. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Don't stand in front of the Lord on judgment day and have this root of bitterness. All it'll do is hinder your joy here upon this earth. Here's one that I'm going to say with caution, okay? Because I don't know you the way you know yourself. Pursue reconciliation, if possible, when safe and wise to do so. Seek restoration of a relationship. My brother came back. We didn't play Monopoly, but he came back. And we had many, many wonderful times after that. I think even he thought it was silly to put his family in the peril that he did over a Monopoly game. But it's the small, silly stuff that grows into a raging fire if it's not put in check. I don't know what your daily routine is, but I want to share with you as we close a scripture verse this morning that I found so wonderful. If you don't have a daily regimen of studying the Bible, and you say to yourself, self, I want something, I want to start this, I want to bring God daily into my life. I'm not a paid person in any way by our daily bread, but I can't tell you how many times it spoke to my heart. Some days I'll read it. I start my day with it. You're having a cup of coffee. By the time you finish your coffee, you have read Scripture. It's that simple. You start your day with Scripture, your day will be brighter because of it. This morning, as I was reading and studying, Philippians 4, 4 through 7, I want to read it to you. Rejoice in the Lord always. Delight and take pleasure in Him. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit, your graciousness, your unselfishness, mercy, tolerance, and patience be known to all people. The Lord is near. Be not anxious or worried about anything, but in everything, every circumstance, every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, continue to make your specific requests known to the Most High, Most Powerful God. Big G. Big G. The only God. And the peace of God, that peace that transcends all things, all understanding, let it stand guard over your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you again for your words, but mostly, Lord, as we prepare to participate in the Lord's table, Lord, of the forgiveness that was truly poured out upon mankind. It is there for the taking, and Father, it is there for the giving. Father, I do pray that you will allow these words that were spoken today, Lord, just allow these folks to just hold on to a little bit of it. When they are like me and driving down the highway, or somebody cuts them off or does something, let my thoughts go immediately to the Lord Jesus Christ and what he asked for those who were crucifying him. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. And Lord, that is also for me. Forgive me, because there are times that I blind good, sound judgment with bitterness and wrath. But Lord, I do pray and ask for your forgiveness. And Lord, again, that you may truly be with us. For those that do not know you as your personal Savior, Lord, I pray that today is the day of salvation. I ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.